This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Friday edition of Sean, RJ, and Roberto, our final morning from Radio Row in New Orleans here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for being a total that stands for turn it on, leave it on. Man, these guys are loud. Are we that loud? I know we're loud.
I don't think so, but maybe.
Sitting next to Kansas City. I mean, I can't take it. I had to put on the headphones, and that makes me have to probably communicate with Peyton earlier than I want. I had to put them on like 10 minutes ago so I don't hear these guys talking.
Most unconstitutional thing of all time. Dog sniffing my bag.
Yeah, what was unconstitutional? This guy's complaining about coming in through the security. He's like, this dog sniffing my bag. Unconstitutional. I'm like, what? I don't understand. I don't get it. Give me my headphones. This is my former station, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City.
So I was at that table last night. I do my MGM show.
Well.
You wouldn't even know G-Bag has a show. They're so quiet.
Really?
It's like you can stand right next to them and not hear a word they're saying. You wouldn't even know they're on the air.
Okay.
I was trying to bleed in during an MGM show with G-Bag.
We have good and bad NFL Hall of Fame news. We have safety warnings for the Dallas Mavericks and their front office. Amazing. We got a final Luke Bryan ticket giveaway during the 7 o'clock expressway. But we start with the tales from last night. Some of us participated in the group radio dinner.
And some of us are not team players.
Yep.
Not going to name names, but it rhymes with Bobby Belt.
Yeah. I was seeing what you were going to do right there. Yeah, Bobby, you know what? I'm going to put that to the side. I don't want to get that angry starting off at 6:05. Horrible restaurant. Terrible suggestion from Joe Trahan. This city, Choppy, you were right.
Thank you.
You were right. I don't know why I had such a positive food memory. Maybe the Dallas seafood is so bad that I came here years and years ago, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I remember what seafood is like again, being from Maryland. But Joe Trahan, who used to work with the Cowboys, said, you know, got to go to this legendary place. It is the oldest family-run restaurant in the United States. Antoine's.
1840. It's a cool looking spot.
It was a cool vibe in there.
Yeah.
Like 14 different rooms.
Huge.
It was hopping. Austin Eckler, some other Cowboys personnel, people from Barstool that you guys recognize, and then they started service. Thank God that Eric Chiafalo. What's the rule about Memorial Day?
You can't wear white before Easter.
Okay.
And after Labor Day. At least that's the old school. I don't know if that rule still applies today, but that's the rule that we travel.
Well, whatever rule Eric followed, he was lucky that he wore black pants because entire right leg covered in red wine. Huh. They spilled red wine All over his
all
leg.
All over the menu, the paper menu. I mean, those new menus that they gave us. They print menus every day, I'm sure.
Forgetting appetizers, bringing French onion soup with the dinners, giving people the wrong dinners. A chaotic mess.
Very chaotic.
Old, stale-looking plates and service. I mean, it was...
I didn't notice the plate.
I mean, just, you know, stuff... feels so old. It should come with is it called a doily?
Mm-hmm.
Those circles. It's old. You know what I mean? So Broadus was like, yeah, great suggestion, guys. He wasn't there either. And Ruben put it well. He's like 5 out of 10. The other issue I had.
Now the veal was phenomenal. My veal was phenomenal.
Sounds like that was the thing because Joe said to get lamb chops, but I was like, all right, I'm here. Let me try seafood one more time. Awful, terrible, horrible. So that was a bad meal for myself.
She followed, got me back bad.
With
the video. Let me find this one.
Oh, the bone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got me deep-throating this bone. Oh, God.
Yeah, go to our Twitter account. Chiafalo got that. And then here's the other thing I don't understand about people. Why don't I have all the... So I just paid for the whole meal, okay?
Aww.
Rather than split it up, we can only do it five ways, this and that. I wasn't paying for the whole meal. I want the money back.
Oh,
wow. Why don't I have all the money back?
No, I paid you, right? I paid you at the table.
Like, why? I don't understand how people do this. Like, we all have Zelle. We all have Venmo. There's three people who haven't paid me.
Yeah.
Who hasn't paid you?
I want you to guess.
Okay, who all was at dinner?
The station. It's called a station dinner.
Yeah, I know, but half the station wasn't there.
No Bassick, no you, no Broadus.
No Dawson. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to guess that you have not been paid by Wolchuk.
Nope. Incorrect.
Oh, wow. Eric.
Incorrect.
Oh, wow. Then Hagland.
No, Corey Majors. There's something going on with Corey Majors and this topic. Something. It's one too many times. Corey's. I think his wife controls the Venmo.
Yeah, I don't think he has access to money.
I agree.
I don't think he has the access.
So he's got to get the permission from her. Carter,
no.
Sitting right next to me. And then Ruben paid me this morning. I don't get it. Like, settle up. Settle up with it. Same thing with fantasy football payouts. You know, like, send it on over.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait for your check.
Look, I could have used the points. I thought about it. I could have easily put my card out, but I'm not.
You
could deal with that.
You could have done it.
Could have, but I know what was going to happen.
Yeah,
I was going to wind up paying for half the meal.
Then we'll get to Bobby, who triggered me three different times yesterday over food.
Oh, and I can't wait to get to this specific one.
The first one, our big mission for the trip was to get fried chicken, New Orleans fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to our Tesla driver about. I just got a Venmo from someone,
Carter.
Carter.
Yep, because he's up listening.
He wrote, Carter, lousy dinner in NOLA. Good job, Carter. Thank you. We're supposed to get fried chicken, you know? Bobby wrote down other names. Zach Wolchuk's place was closed, the famous place around here. So yesterday, we were like, all right, let's get fried chicken after the show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go somewhere, you know? Or Ruben's down to go for any food adventure. Bobby bails on me.
I noticed you were alone.
I had not committed. We were going out after the show. You just said, I'm going. Does anyone want to go? And I said, I got to do this KRLD hit. And then I got to sleep. And so I didn't know that you were going right after the show. Otherwise, I would have planned better and I would have been prepared.
Bailed on that. Then he bails on dinner with the entire group. And his whole mantra this whole time when we talk about how picky he is with food is, I'll go. I won't eat. Just don't give me a hard time.
Yeah, but y'all bitch whenever I do that. And so
we didn't complain the first night.
This is the fourth like dinner we've done in a row over the last two trips that's been a seafood themed dinner. So I was like, you know what, this fourth time in a row, I think I'd like to eat dinner, which I didn't end up doing, but I'd like to eat dinner and I'm gonna go somewhere else.
He said if you guys pick a seafood place, I'm not going. If you don't pick a seafood place, I am going. Well, then we had to break down what a seafood place actually was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then we had to Bobby's brain, this is how cross-wired he is. He's like, well, I don't know if I would technically qualify the place that you picked as a seafood place.
Right. But then I looked at it.
And then how are you defining seafood place?
Well, that place, when their whole lead is like, the birthplace of oysters, the world famous. Yeah, you're a seafood place.
Okay.
Anywhere that does seafood primary, I'm like I'm not
so
going
like
to
eat. 51% of the menu seafood that's a seafood place.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like anywhere's just 51%. Usually, it's got to, like that looked like it was at least 60-70% of their menu was seafood.
What
so
if
that's
it was
a
40%? What if it was 40%?
Then that's not a seafood restaurant. If it's less than half of what they do, it's not a seafood restaurant.
So I thought your premise was if they're cooking seafood in the back, the rest of the food's going to taste like.
If that's primarily what they do, yes. And so that's the thing is that if they're not, like Chili's will have seafood on their menu, but the whole food doesn't taste like seafood because
of
that.
Well, then the biggest trigger was in his email when he described the lunch that he did go to. I guess the nap didn't take place that he told me about. He went and
no, it did. It did take place. I went later than you were going.
He goes, oh, I got these French fries that had like pot roast on them. It's like a pot roasty French fry. And I sat in that bed reading this.
No, it's not.
Getting so furious because the first night we went out, when he's not eating at the Acme Oyster House, Amanda and I split poutine.
Yeah, or whatever the New Orleans they call it here. They just renamed it.
It is basically pot roast French fries.
Yeah.
It's gravy on top of French fries. Bobby wouldn't touch it. Wouldn't go near it. I said, there's no reason. There's nothing to stay away. There's no reason to stay away from this. Please eat. Eat this. Here you go. Nope. Not going to do it. And then he's enjoying some pot roast French fries yesterday. Same thing.
This is slander.
Makes no sense.
This is slander.
It's not slander.
All of this is slander.
It's not.
Every single one of these things is slander because there's context that matters in all these. The poutine, first off, I wasn't against it because it was poutine. Again, that was a seafood restaurant. I was not going to eat anything that came out of there because it was a seafood restaurant. Second,
I believe there are crustaceans on seafood.
Second, whatever. Second, they're recalled. That's all I know.
They're recalled.
So,
it's a recall restaurant.
Second, if you look at what I'm looking at right now, poutine, and what was on the table the other night, this doesn't look anything like what I ate yesterday. I literally had no gravy. The meat of a pot roast was like strewn over these fries, and then queso was poured on top. That's not what was on the table the other night.
Do you dislike gravy?
No.
Okay.
No, but I mean, I dislike gravy that's cooked in the same kitchen as recalled snot from Iraq.
Okay. Okay, so then what did you eat at your dinner? He goes to a Mexican restaurant in New Orleans.
Yeah, very strange.
You know?
Very strange. A little barbecue spot in Denver.
But, you know, like, I mean, it was you were trying to go to Italian in New Orleans last night. So, like, I mean, same
Italian.
Thing. So,
I think famous once-in-a-lifetime place.
So, no, I had queso. That's what I had last night. Cause
why didn't you eat dinner
at when I was looking
Mexican
at the menu,
restaurant?
First off, Kristen was the one who really wanted to go there. And so I was like, all right, fine. We'll pick your dinner spots.
Would you have gone? What would have been your ideal? Like, all right, I want to go to that place.
I don't know. I would have just
looked. You just like picking everyone else's, crossing everyone else's out, but you don't have an
answer? No. I would have looked and just gone like, all right, what's in the immediate vicinity? And I would have picked one based on like a rating or whatever. I don't think that's the thing. I don't think anytime I've gone on any of these trips, I've ever picked anything like. I don't think I've picked a place I wanted to go. Like, usually we're all going as a group, and I'm just like, all right, fine, we'll go there. Or Kristen's with me, and Kristen wants to eat somewhere, and I'm like, all right, wherever you want to eat, that's the bigger thing. So we go there, and I was fine eating Mexican food, but then I was looking at it, and when she was placing her order, I was like, I still haven't found anything I really want. And then it was time for me to order. I was like, I'm good. I'm just getting a queso. And she got so mad. She got so furious. She, like, immediately went, boom, and, like, dropped the menu. And she just, like, shook her head, and she's like, why didn't you just say you wanted to eat somewhere else? And I was like, I didn't know until I sat here and I was looking at it.
What
like,
was wrong with the menu? How is that any different from any other Mexican restaurant on earth?
Like, they're doing, like, mushroom quesadillas and stuff.
What's the name of the place?
La Carreta, I think.
All right. And does any of this have to do with the fact that I watched you eat a ham sandwich right before dinner?
No.
That you went and got a sandwich?
No, that was literally, I was going to pour alcohol in my stomach, and I needed something right then. So I just grabbed, like, one of those little things.
I love him. I love him. He's maddening. I love him,
He's
though.
He's so maddening.
His eating habits.
His life habits.
The amount of times you go to dinner and don't eat throws me for a loop. It really does. Like, the amount of times you might go to a restaurant and not eat on an equal playing field with the amount of times you go to a restaurant and do eat.
Yes. I would probably agree with that.
I am. You know what?
I did eat the queso. The queso was great. Kristen
sure
got a $5 margarita, which was awesome.
That's pretty good.
And she got to I felt I owed her dinner after she had to sit outside my hotel room door for half an hour.
Listen to this. Just when you want, I just ping pong between the two of them of who to blame more in their relationship. My wife starts lighting me up, saying, "Get Kristen in their room." And I was like, "What? What do you mean? What's going on?" She got locked out of their hotel room. Do you know the story yet?
I do not know the story yet.
She got locked. This is amazing. She gets locked out of their room, and Kristen starts. My wife is back home in the Metroplex. Bobby's wife starts texting my wife. "I'm locked out. Yeah, I'm out here waiting." And Amanda's like, "Waiting for what? Like Bobby to come? You know, where is he? Is he out in Radio Row?" She goes, "No, I'm waiting for him to wake up. He's napping." Amanda says, "Knock on the door." She goes, "No, Bobby gets to nap so little in life. I'm just going to let him nap and wait for him to naturally."
It's a wonderful woman.
Isn't that a wonderful woman?
And I told her.
You should never.
Who else would ever think like that?
No.
I told her she should have knocked on the door. I said, "No, you should have woken me up."
Are you able to go back to bed easily?
Yeah. But she was like, "No, you would have woken up." She ended up staying out there for like 25 minutes before I rolled over, looked at my phone, and saw she just texted. She's like, "Hey, whenever you wake up."
I'm outside.
I was like,
"What?" But also stupid is that. That's the sweetest, dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
So I felt bad that she'd been sitting out there, so I was going to let her pick dinner. But no, I told her, I was like, "You should have, like, if you would have banged on the door, I would have got up, opened the door, and I would have slumped back to bed."
Would she have gone to the restaurant we went to with you if you decided to?
Yeah, she would have ordered something.
She's a weird eater, too.
But she would have ordered something.
She's not that far off of him. It's an adventure with these two.
She would have ordered something, though.
But what did she eat at the place we went Monday night?
She ate some, like, appetizer thing. I don't remember. But, I mean, last night, like, that wasn't only seafood. Like, the place we went to the first night, there were some other things, but that was mainly oysters and different things like that. Where y'all went last night, there was enough stuff on there that I'm sure she would have found something to order.
So, there it is. As usual, I'm totally fed up with Bobby at the very end of these trips. And this one is exactly the same as the others.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
John, RJ, and
next one's only a couple days, though, so we should be okay.
Indy?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to be in control in Indy.
Yeah.
That's my spot.
Yeah, he is going to be in control. In steakhouses.
Yeah. God forbid they serve a shrimp.
We got good news and terrible news with the NFL Hall of Fame announcements last night. Let's get into it next on The Fan. We have hilarious news and terrible news when it comes to the NFL Hall of Fame announcements last night. Good morning, Metroplex, Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Final show in New Orleans here at Radio Row. Let's start off with the bad news. Phenomenal guest sitting down with us yesterday, the great Darren Woodson, denied again.
This is getting ridiculous, and I said it yesterday on Twitter, like, we need an audit of the Hall of Fame voters, like, at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, because there's, when every player from that era, Thurman Thomas sat down and said it yesterday, teammates will tell you, other, you know, opponents will tell you, like, when every single player from that era, when Darren Woodson comes up, like, oh yeah, no, that dude needs to be in.
Although, to be fair, has anyone ever been asked, should that guy be in? Yeah. And the person goes, no.
Well, okay. To be fair, you ask anybody even away from a camera or anything else about Darren Woodson, they will tell you, like, he did change the way that position was played.
Yeah.
Like he completely impacted the game in a different way. Mike Zimmer told – I know he told Darren Woodson this years ago, and he said sort of the same thing in Oxnard to us, where he's like, I feel partly responsible for him not being in because he was so good. We asked him to do so many things, he couldn't just sit at one spot and collect stats.
Yeah.
If he would have been able to just stand at free safety, he would have collected enough stats, he'd be in.
That's what he was telling me yesterday. He's like, I wish I would have played that one spot more.
Yeah, because that would have helped him out. Instead, it was like Nate Newton told us a couple weeks ago.
But the versatility gets praised for Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
Rod Woodson.
Yeah. No, and Nate,
Deion going, you know, did Deion play a little bit of safety in Baltimore later on?
Late in his career he did, yeah. Nate had talked about this with his Nate Newton a couple weeks ago, where he was like, we didn't have nickel packages, we didn't have dime packages, we had Darren Woodson. When Darren Woodson was in our lineup, he would just, hey, Darren, slide down and play the slot, now we have nickel. Darren, come down in here, all right, now we have a jumbo package, you know, we've got these box defenders. Darren, go do this, do this. Like, he was the guy who they would just shift him, and it's like, there's our package, now we're changing. Nobody comes off the field, and that has just not been rewarded properly. And statistically, he still is one of the – he's right up there with the safeties of his era that have been put in, statistically.
Right. Yeah, that's the issue. And then, now, listen, like, if you want to audit the Hall of Fame voters, okay, be careful, though. You start getting younger people in there who didn't see him play, his chances go down even more.
I just in general mean, like, I gotta find out if there's just people in there who, like, have no idea who he is or have some sort of weird axe to grind. And anybody who's talked to Darren Woodson off the air, I can't imagine why you'd ever have an axe to grind against. He does everything the right way. He's friendly. He's personable. He's been in media. He had the career that you needed. There's no explanation for him not being in there.
And that must mean that the class was absolutely loaded. So listen to the four that actually got in.
Four? So, I mean, they didn't max out at their five. Okay.
Oh, real quick. The average, they list them as defensive backs, right? The average defensive back in the Hall of Fame has one title, 3 first-team All-Pros, 7 Pro Bowls, and 13 years as a starter. Woodson has 3 titles, 3 first-team All-Pros. So he's got them matched or exceeded on the first two. A little bit less on the Pro Bowl, 5-7. And, I mean, the years are right there. His numbers to get in match everybody. There's no reason not to.
The 2025 class, Jared Allen, Sterling Sharp, Antonio Gates setting a precedent there, and then the one that people are losing their minds over because Darren Woodson got left out is Eric Allen. So Jared Allen, Eric Allen, Sterling Sharp, Antonio Gates. I thought when we were previewing this class, we were like, hey, this is a much better class. These are a lot of tough decisions. And then when I look at these four names on paper, I'm like, eh.
You cannot make a case that Eric Allen is a Hall of Famer over Darren Woodson. He made one first team All-Pro. So, and that's my argument with Eli. At no point, and this is my argument with Billy Wagner. Okay, Eli's got the two rings. At no point in his career was he a first team All-Pro. At no point in his career was he an MVP. I'm sorry, like if you're gonna make the Hall of Fame, I'm gonna need a couple of first team All-Pros from you as a quarterback. And as a, you know, any position, I don't think it's too much to ask to be the best at your position a couple of times in your career.
This is the smallest Hall of Fame class since 2005, but at least it does not have Eli Manning. That brought me great. Oh, my biggest victory over the meatballs. We were talking about trying to go to Rao's last night, the famous New York place with a pop-up here. When I did get into Rao's years and years ago, I was in Long Island, and they were rewatching one of the Giants' lucky Super Bowls, and I told both of them, Goldberg and Sullivan, New York diehards, this guy, like, I had to break down to them how Eli Manning isn't that good. They really thought I should lose my credentials as, like, a sports talk person. They could not wrap their mind around it. That's your typical New Yorker, New York fan. He's got two titles, he's a winner. That's it. The brain can't go to another level on it. And when I found out yesterday, because I was told beforehand that Eli and Woody were not getting in, I texted them this, and they're like, you're stupid. You should leave. They should throw you out of the Super. They should take your credential. And getting that message to them, they're crickets. It was one of the great, satisfying sports argument wins of my entire life. They can't believe it.
He'll get in someday. But
maybe.
Now, next year, you got to add Witten, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees.
Fitzgerald,
yep. So they all get added to the list next year.
Although, I don't know. I mean, they keep holding. I don't understand how they keep holding out on Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne. I don't know how one of them hasn't got. Torrey Holt's numbers were. It is literally the first 9 years of his career. The only person, the only guy who passes him in his first 9 years of his career, statistics wise, it's Jerry Rice. That's it.
Yeah, the numbers fool me. Just in my brain, I'm like, I never thought of Torrey Holt as a Hall of Fame receiver.
There was also like historically a lack of wide receivers in the Hall anyway. It's a very tough position to crack the Hall.
Yeah, unless you're Lynn Swann and you bobble the ball in the Super Bowl.
Pittsburgh Steelers were just such trash. Most overrated play ever. I had concentration and the ball tipped in the air. The DB fell down. I was able to catch. I don't know how I was.
Do you know what Antonio Gates' average season was during his career?
One shot in the butt.
60 receptions, 740 yards.
Say it again.
60 receptions, 740 yards. We're talking about for his career averaging less than 50 yards per Chargers game.
Then Jason Witten better not be even a discussion.
60
better not be a discussion. And
like, just say yes. Just like when Tom Brady goes in, just say yep. You don't even need to just say his name. That's it.
Have you guys heard any talk about Antonio Gates getting busted during this build-up?
No,
and discussion. So they've set
a precedent.
There's the precedent.
The Baseball Hall of Fame, like, I mean, they won't even let if you were in the same urinal as somebody who was shooting up.
Yep.
you get out.
He got four games for PEDs. They're like, okay, fine. It's all right. I don't have a huge problem with it. His numbers are the opposite of Torrey Holt for me. I'm like, that's it?
Yeah.
That's it for Antonio Gates?
Pat Freiermuth in. That's what they did with this. Pat Freiermuth just went into the Hall of Fame with this 60 for 740.
I thought of Antonio Gates more as a Hall of Fame player than Torrey Holt in terms of his greatness in the league in the moment. I'm just being honest in terms of recollection. And then Vinatieri got left out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm...
Okay.
Like, what's the bigger crime? Is it Vinatieri? Is it Luke Kuechly? Luke Kuechly was a stud.
So they said they've done this a couple times recently where, like, DeMarcus Ware doesn't go in the first time.
I'm so
like they started creating this first ballot NFL.
I hate that. It's so diminishing to the person, in my opinion. I know they probably don't care. I would.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, you're just going to keep putting me to the side. If you want to uphold your standard, like, just don't put them in ever. Like, if you're like, no, you're not good enough to be a first-time Hall of Famer, I'm fine if you're like, all right, first ballot guy, unless you, like, totally have run out of space. But you're like, now the third time. I hate that. I think it's so diminishing to the individual.
Yeah, and that's historically, I don't feel like that's been.
And I love that T.O. was like, screw you. I'm not even going. I'm doing my own ceremony. I love that he did that.
Yeah, I feel like Pro Football Hall of Fame historically hasn't been one of these, well, we're not going to put in a first. That's always been a baseball thing. But like the last 15 years, it feels like the NFL's moved that way.
I feel like this is the hardest it's ever been to predict the class.
Yeah.
Like over the past 3 years, I've been way off, like, no, that's happening, that's happening. Like, right now for next year, of the first-time eligibles, it's Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Breeze.
Yes.
Rivers.
No.
Huh?
No.
Witten.
Yes.
Frank Gore. No.
Oh, man.
No.
He will get in, but he's not going to get in next year.
He will get
in. Okay, so I would be wrong on that. Like, Frank Gore, he was never around the best running back in the league. He's a compiler.
Isn't he Curtis Martin, though, or Art Monk?
When you're number two in rushing, when you're number two in, like, one of the – like, if you're the second most hits in the history of Major League Baseball.
Let me see his all-pros. I'm just curious. I would like to know.
If you had the second most hits in the history of baseball and you were, like
– Yeah, yeah, I know.
You know, Elvis.
Edelman, no. Pouncey, no. LeSean McCoy, no. Thomas Davis, no. Greg Olson, no. Alex Smith, hell no. Dez, no. Steven Guskowski, it'd be hilarious if he got in before Vinatieri. Geno Atkins, no. David DeCastro, Mike Pouncey, Sean Lee, Todd Gurley, and Jarrell Casey. Those are the first-timers for next year.
One second-team All-Pro for Frank Gore, no first-team.
He's not even on.
Bro. 16,000 rushing yards. So he's 2,000 away from Emmett's record. Even if it's compiling, that's
well. I think this is a perfect argument. I think this is a perfect guy. It's, and I'm not disrespecting the numbers. It's freaking impressive. It's consistency. It's durability. It's toughness. Sure. But you never were like, oh my God, Frank Gore is the second or third best running back in the league. Never.
Yeah.
He was just a boring guy, you know, in San Fran or Indy. Now, Curtis Martin is a great example in comparison. I thought of Curtis Martin as better than Frank Gore, even.
I did, too. This is interesting.
Frank Gore was on the All-Decade team, by the way, and that's usually been a pretty good indicator of what the Hall of Fame voters
So one of the things they use in this Hall of Fame monitor is like it's like a compilation of all your stats, and it gives a number, which is your chances of getting in. And his number is actually higher than Edge, Thurman Thomas, Gale Sayers, Curtis Martin, but he doesn't meet any of the criteria that they have. Like, they've got way more All-Pros. They've got more championships or whatever. He does. He has more years starting. And that helped compile his number higher.
The other awards handed out last night, Josh Allen wins MVP. Kevin O'Connell, Coach of the Year. Joe Burrow, Comeback Player of the Year. He didn't look too thrilled going up there and getting that. Offensive Player of the Year, Saquon. Defensive Player of the Year, you guys were right in predicting that, and Patrick Surtain, and then Jaden Daniels, Rookie of the Year, Jared Verse, Defensive Rookie of the Year. But there it is, the MVP to Josh Allen.
Yeah, and Josh Allen, the first quarterback or first player in 21 seasons to win MVP without being the first team All-Pro. That's Lamar. And the last player to do it was Steve Mariner, who shared the MVP. And so if you're talking about last person period, Stanley, that was Elway in 87.
Why are people issuing safety warnings for when the Mavericks come back to DFW? Wait until you hear what went out over national television. Are you that riled up listening back home in DFW? Next on The Fan.
Edwards on the wing, Clay with another three. He is on automatic with 21 in the first half.
And he ended up with 25. He did that the other day as well, going crazy in the first quarter, then silence afterwards. And the Dallas Mavericks on TNT, in an NBA Finals rematch, go into Nico was right all along. We couldn't beat him for the title. Get rid of old Chubbs, and now we'll get the win in the rematch. 127-120. The Mavericks without Anthony Davis, beat Boston.
Don't even need him.
No one's dying. Don't even need him, man.
Every once in a while, you have these games. Doesn't matter what sport it is. When you have nobody, everybody's out. Somehow it all clicks. I don't know how. I was thinking that we talked about this on my Bet MGM show last night. Well, there was a game last week where one team was missing like two of their starters. They wound up winning by 20. Like, that doesn't happen.
And Kyrie had 4 points in the first half.
Started Kessler Edwards. that was in the starting lineup. You were playing significant minutes to the newly acquired Max Christie. 31 minutes for Spencer Dinwiddie, and you handle the Boston Celtics. Trust in Nico.
Max is going to wind up being the best pickup of that trade.
Of the trade.
He really is, man.
He'll play the most games.
Yeah. Definitely play the most games.
Before the game, Bobby walks down to the lobby as we're having some drinks before dinner, and he goes, "Did you hear Ali LaForce?" Ali LaForce is the very fantastic sideline reporter for TNT. Well, listen to what she said before the game to the city of Dallas-Fort Worth.
Kid told us just moments ago he believes Anthony Davis does have the shoulders to carry this load. One big concern, though, is just the safety of the players, the front office, going back to Dallas. We hope fans make the wise decision and remember that this is a game and that lives are far more important.
I don't know that anyone had been talking about, you know, trying to threaten them physically with violence.
Lives are more important.
Surely they have gotten threats. No doubt about it. Look, just like if Jerry gets threats.
Not the players.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah, but I mean, is that the NBA telling Ali LaForce, like, hey, say something on the, or is that just her doing it on her own?
I don't know. Like, far more important.
So the NFL gets end racism out of the end zones. The NBA needs to put something in the middle of the floor. Yeah. Let me hear that report one more time, Pepe, please.
Kid told us just moments ago he believes Anthony Davis does have the shoulders to carry this load. One big concern, though, is just the safety of the players, the front office, going back to Dallas. We hope fans make the wise decision and remember that this is a game and that lives are far more important.
She's a hostage negotiator. Put down the gun.
Put down the gun.
Please, do the smart thing.
Nico, trade for Brittany Griner next.
Well, I'm not going to say.
Yeah, it was a hostage joke.
No,
yeah.
I was going to make a worse
joke.
Okay,
good. Yeah, good.
And then I know where you're going.
And then Bobby started the poll question in the bar. He goes, wait, are you telling me if Nico walks through Victory Plaza, is he getting punched in the face? And I was like, no, I don't think he's getting punched in the face. And then he starts taking a poll to everyone. I'm like, all right, you might get one drunk. Bassett's like, maybe a beer thrown.
Yeah, you might get a beer thrown.
You might get a beer thrown. I mean, again, all it takes is one. But we're not that city, okay?
No,
we're not that town.
We're not, but...
And nor should we be.
But you've also nobody's ever tested a city's patience with a move like this. So all I'm saying is when Nico walks out of the next home game with those 4,000 fans pouring out of the AAC.
I would stay in a suite if I were him. I would stay in a suite.
I'm just saying if Nico did a lap through Victory Plaza after a game lets out, there's a chance, like, I don't think it's absurd to think one of those drunk people go, just go at him.
He has never entered the building through Victory Plaza.
I know. We were talking about drop him.
No one's hit Jerry Jones in public. Someone tweeted back and
said, nobody's been this mad at Jerry Jones, I don't know. Like when you talk about the city has never been this mad at him.
Not in one singular instance.
Right.
30 years of boiling.
But, right. Yeah, just a general simmer of being upset. But in one singular moment, nobody's ever been this mad. The city has not been this mad at Jerry before.
If you could fire one into the sun, would DFW hit it for Nico or Jerry?
Today, Nico. You know, obviously.
I don't know. They would... Because Nico's is already done. If you told them you could reverse the move by doing so, they would fire Nico into the sun. But with Nico,
let me ask this. Which team in the next 3 years has a better chance to win the championship?
The Cowboys.
877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Why did you answer that so quick?
Because, I mean, they're not winning with the current setup the Mavericks have. The Cowboys probably aren't either, but, like, there's a better chance of catching lightning in a bottle with the Cowboys, I think.
So all these people saying that they're 1-2 in the West, you think that's ridiculous. Bassick thinks they're going to be fighting to make the playoffs.
I mean, yeah. So
also thinks that, you know... Ali LaForce probably issued that warning to Bassett.
somebody put it on cue cards for Stephen A. to say, and then with Barkley, like you said earlier, Barkley's just kind of become a contrarian. That's what he does, and so Yeah, I don't think they're are they better right now than they were earlier in the season while Luka was playing? Maybe for right now they are, but I mean, no, I don't think they're a title contender.
I want to know what the fan tech says about which one, because you're right. In the moment, they're probably doing it with Nico.
The answer is the Stars or the Rangers, but
well, no duh. Stop changing our hypotheticals.
I think it's the Mavs, man.
Nico's not going to walk into Victory Plaza.
I'm just deciding on how if I want to fight over Dak right now or not. I'm just deciding whether I want to do that. But I think it's the Mavericks.
I'm not going to fight over Dak right now. I'm just saying.
I think it's the Mavericks too.
Yeah, I think the Mavs have a legitimate chance this year. I think they're one of. I don't think Stephen A. and Charles are trolling.
I mean, the Mavericks got their ass kicked with a pretty strong core in rotation last year. I don't think removing
Boston doesn't seem the same. I'm not saying because of last night.
No, right. I mean, they're not as dominant as they were last year, but I mean, they're still like 36-16. They've still been great this year, and yeah. I don't think they're beating anybody, any of the top contenders in the West.
Denver, if they can avoid Denver again,
they now are a scary matchup for Denver.
They are.
They're scary. They're like,
I just want to avoid Denver in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
And then what happened with the trade? Well, the Mavs had a chance to cancel the trade
in
Philadelphia?
Yeah, so it turns out Caleb Martin.
I want to know from the Toles which one they're picking. Which GM are they firing into the sun, and then who's going to win the title? We'll get to that in just a second.
He has a
we can't really fire them into the sun.
In
case you wanted to correct that too.
Yeah, you can let Ali LaForce know we're not really going to fire him into the sun.
Elon.
So it's okay.
Elon could do it.
Caleb Martin is so old. We were talking about how old he is. He's so old that he's getting the stereotypical geriatric issue. He's got a bad hip. He needs a hip replacement, I guess. So his hip injury is apparently much worse than the Mavericks initially thought, and he was not able to pass his physical. So it was like, all right, well, you've got a chance to undo the trade if you like. And they went, nah, we like it. We want to keep him here. We just need a second-round pick thrown in. So now Philadelphia added a second-round pick to the deal. For a deal, by the way, that was, I think, graded by ESPN as like a D-plus for the Mavericks and an A for the Sixers. And now you throw a bad hip on top of that in need of a hip replacement. But, yeah, it turns out that trade was even worse than it looked like on the surface as well. So every day that comes after a trade that Nico makes, we find out more things that tell you how bad it is.
You know what else they did and messed up? They screwed up Anthony Davis's resume on Instagram. And the Dallas Mavericks official account said, 9-time All-Star Anthony appeared in the chat and wrote, correction, 10. They had to delete it.
Now, I'm surprised they didn't lock his comments on Instagram. They should have done that.
Wow. It's Mavs in a runaway. Now, I'm a little surprised by that because I agree it is Mavs, but the winning in the NFL, I do think, is easier because it is a one and done. You got to get lucky. You got to get hot. Whereas in the NBA, baseball, you got to win a series.
The Mavs are a better team. They're a better team than the Cowboys.
Yeah, they are.
You want to argue path and luck and all that stuff can go into it, but they're built better than the Cowboys are right now.
They are. They have two. They have a formula. You've got two top, 20-ish players.
Yeah, two top 20-ish before. Ruined that.
You did. No, you had one top three, top two, top one.
Yeah.
You had the guy in the league.
Speaking of being built, Shaquille O'Neal had his own conditioning criticisms when he was playing back in the day. This was Shaq talking about Luka on TNT.
He doesn't look out of shape to me. Like, I need to know what the term, when you say out of shape, is he fat? Does he have a six-pack? Does he not have are we talking body fat?
A lot of stories, because he's ballooned up to 270.
One of my best friends just told me Fat Luka is better than 99.9% of all the guards in the game. So, in shape Luka, 5 years, first team NBA. Yeah. Fat Luka or this out of shape Luka, first team all NBA 5 years. So, if that's the case, they let him go. Obviously, I would definitely have to blame management because there's better ways to handle that.
He ballooned. Like, again, that terminology is that feels like.
By the way, is yellow known to be, RJ Choppy, a slimming color? Because he put on the Lakers shirt.
That is exactly what I was looking up right now, was that photo.
He doesn't look chubby.
No.
Like, if I was Tim McMahon, I'd be pretty ticked off at whoever told me. This is why a lot of Mavs fans hate Tim. I think he's a beast. But it doesn't look great that someone told him he got up to 270.
That does not look like he ballooned to 270.
No. You could see it the other day in the sweater. Now people are like, oh, that's a cover it all sweater. Dude, you could see.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for his face to look like, you know, it got filled with helium. That's not the case. If I was Tim, I'd feel a little burned by the 270 report for whoever told him that. They needed him to look fat.
Now the 270, like, was he, so I took it from when he said up to 270. About when he got the wrist injury earlier on. That's where I haven't seen him all year look like that. No,
I haven't seen the whole time he's shown on the sideline. I've never seen a moment where it's just like, my God, he's eating himself out of the league.
They think he came in a little out of shape. Mm-hmm. He hurt the calf. And then they're ticked off that the calf injury on Christmas Day was also because he was not in the best shape. I just wanted to play Shaq's strategy for conditioning when he played. I just wanted to see what y'all thought of this.
It wasn't really a chip on my shoulder because I didn't work out during the summer because I had other obligations, family, children, and I wanted to work my way.
He says this, and his face with such attitude, I have kids.
Yeah.
I have family, all right? Like, you're not going to guilt me into working out for my professional athlete career. Play the whole clip.
It wasn't really a chip on my shoulder because I didn't work out during the summer because I had other obligations, family, children, and I wanted to work my way into shape. That was my method. It worked for me. You know, there's a lot of so-called methods of how to get it done. You know, you come in shape and you become a first ballot Hall of Famer, you win three championships in a row. That's your way. My way, I did it my way, and I'm happy with the way I did it.
Unbelievable.
It didn't work out in the offseason.
Unbelievable.
If you want a comparison, though, I still remember when he got traded to Miami. And a week later, he made his first appearance in public, and everybody's like, Shaq looks in shape. Shaq looks in shape.
That was his
motivated.
Revenge body. That was his revenge summer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to get Luca, like the lady who gets divorced and just looks like a stunner a couple months later. That is going to be Luca.
By the way, yellow is not a slimming color. It is the one to avoid.
It is? He looks like that still?
This is what LeBron does for people. He really gets them locked in and motivated. He's already got him 2 days in.
What if he gets a tan? What you're saying about...
tan fat looks better than white fat.
If he gets some L.A. sun with the yellow, he'll look anorexic.
He will.
That's the that's the worst thing the ego could ever want.
You know, he could be not eating because of the breakup, bad breakup, depression. You know, he's starving himself, depression starving.
Big Cat over at Barstool said, it's simple. Sign him and put him on Ozempic. Emmett and Dez coming for the Cowboys next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.